Welcome. You're listening to sermons and talks from Providence Church in Brisbane. We believe that God speaks to us through his word, the Bible. So we pray that as you listen, you'll be encouraged and challenged to love Jesus and live for him. For more information about Providence Church, please visit our website, www.providencechurch.com.au.
So let's read Matthew 6, 1-18. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
Father, we thank you that you are a God who speaks to us, a God who has given us his word, and a God who wants us to know you. And I thank you that we can sit before it today. I pray that by your Spirit you will speak to our hearts and move our hearts towards you and consider what it means and looks like to live the new life under Christ as our King. We pray for that now. In your Son's name, amen. There's a young person word that I like. And I've been using it a bit to sound young and fit in with Gen Z, but this is the word. The word is clout. I don't know, you guys know this word? Who doesn't know this word? It's okay if you don't. Like, yeah, some people don't know this word. I've been saying it around people my age, and they're like, what are you talking about, Mikey? But I like the sound of this word, clout. But it's not a new word, you see. In the last 10 years, it's become a slang term, and so it's really popular in the social media world. So if you're not on social media, then of course you won't hear this word much. But clout, this is the idea of, it's a phrase like chasing clout, which refers to trying to gain fame or influence and seeking attention, right? So you see social media influencers, they're showing off their bodies, they're showing off how talented and great they are, their videos, their reels, trying to gain attention and fame. You'd say that they're chasing clout, okay? So that's the word clout. It's that wanting attention. Now, I find it really interesting because this idea behind this slang term clout isn't really just a social media influencer thing, is it? I think clout is something that it applies to many of us. Whether we're sharing online or even in a public sense, it could be Facebook, it could be Instagram or LinkedIn, or it could be just on stage or in a public setting, public forum, where at times that feeling or motivation is that we want to gain attention, we want to be known, we want that public recognition, we want that clout, you could say, we want to show that we're great at something. And so, for example, let's use the online example. Perhaps you're on your LinkedIn profile, you'll share how many degrees you have and all those little letters after your name because you want to be recognized for it. Fair enough, you worked hard for it and society expects us to do that so that you could land that higher paying job. Well, we want people to recognize how beautiful we are or how great our life is, so we make those curated photos on our social media, filtered, slightly edited, and we post them up because we want to show off how glamorous our life is and how fun we are. All in the effort for clout, right? Now, there are other reasons, of course, you know, less clouty, is that a word? Clouty reasons. People do it for their work and they share their lives with their friends and family on social media. All those things are important, you know, all that, I get that. But let's be honest. Sometimes many of us do it with mixed emotions, mixed motivations. We do it for the clout, the recognition and attention from others that, because it feels good. It's not just online, it's offline too. Like it happens in everyday life where we want that public recognition from family, friends, through rewards, through trophies, through applause, through even just comments and feedback that make us feel seen and admired. We chase the clout because it feels good when we get validated, doesn't it? And for many, if not all of us, we're with mixed motivations. We will do certain things because we want that recognition and we chase that clout. And I know that might be redefining the word a little bit in the social media world, but we want that clout because we want that feeling. A question I want us to really think about today, though, is why do so many of us need or live for that recognition and attention from others? Why is that so vital to us, to many of us? And how does Jesus call us to live as Christians in regard to our motivations for recognition? Because I think this is really important for us to think about and get, especially if we call ourselves Christians, especially if we identify as Christians, as we call God our Father in heaven and all those things that we're going to see today. We've got Jesus here teaching his disciples and the crowd about how to live as Christians. If Jesus has come to bring in a new kingdom and he's the king, he's sharing with them what living in this world as people of God looks like, okay? So last week we heard about how we spoke about the Jewish laws they were taught and how Jesus is teaching about the intent of the laws, about loving others, doing right by people. That was last week. That was in the chapter before. Today he's going to the section how we do right, not just by people, but by God. Our righteousness before God in certain religious practices that Christians do. And so the three that we're going to look at in this section that we just read, that Singh just read for us, is giving to the needy, praying to God, and fasting before God. I'm going to explain them a bit more in detail in a minute, but I want us to start off just with the first sentence, because I think the first sentence gives us this overarching theme that we can see the rest through. I've already mentioned thinking about our motivations and the desire to be seen by others, right? So 6 verse 1, it starts with this. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So for those in Jesus' time, they were Israel, the people of God. They would practice righteousness, practice their religion, their faith through things like generosity, prayer and fasting. Good things to do, right? And Jesus is saying, don't practice these things to be seen by others, though. That's how he starts a section. Now, that's really confusing if you're listening to him, because just a chapter ago, Jesus was teaching his disciples, just a chapter in chapter 5, to be a city on a hill, to let your good deeds be seen by others. I've got it on the screen for you. It says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And now here in chapter 6, he's saying, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. It's confusing a little bit, isn't it? But he's not contradicting himself. Do you see the difference? The difference that your good deeds and practicing your righteousness, being a godly person, he wants us to see that it's not about you. The focus isn't going to be on you. People will see your practice. They'll see the way that you practice your faith in public at times. But chapter 5, the goal isn't for you to get the glory and honor, is it? It's so God, our Father in heaven, gets glory. Jesus is saying in chapter 6 then, to be careful not to do these things for the wrong reasons. What are our motivations? So throughout chapter 6, what does he do? He calls out the hypocrites, doesn't he? And their motivations when it comes to doing these religious practices, right? And so we got a few verses just throughout chapter 6. I put them up on the screen. When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Again, verse 5, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Verse 16, when you fast, do not look somber as hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. What is a hypocrite? Right? That's the word we need to think about, because he says it so many times in this passage. How do we understand the word hypocrite? Usually when you call someone a hypocrite, it's usually, you know, they're someone who doesn't practice what they preach, right? They'll tell you that you should live this way, you should do this, but they themselves don't do it. They have double standards. Their behavior doesn't line up with what they say. But in the ancient Greek-Roman world, the time that Jesus lived in, hypocrite was the word they used for actors, actors in the theater on stage. Back then, the actors would wear masks to cover their faces like a facade, and they'd act. They'd pretend to be someone else. Jesus is using the word hypocrite in that sense. For the religious people during this time, he called them these hypocrites. He called them pretenders, actors. On the outside, they wore this mask to show how pious and religious and how great they were. Look at how spiritually mature and holy I am, the way I do these things. But they were just acting, pretending to do it for God when their hearts desired recognition and validation from men and women, from the people around them. So Jesus, he's speaking to our hearts here. What is our motivation when we approach God, when we are at church, when we're practicing our faith? You see, for the Christian, we all have to assess our hearts in the way we serve God, the way we model our faith to a watching world around us. We have to both practice our faith in public in doing good deeds, because we do that, you'd also be wary and cautious of our motivations. Am I doing this because I desire to make much of God and point people to his greatness? Or am I wanting validation and recognition for it? Am I just pretending? Am I a hypocrite, as Jesus would call me? I know how hard this is, because the human heart is really complex, isn't it? Sometimes we don't even know our own motivations at times. We have mixed emotions, we have mixed motivations. We often put up a facade, we put on that mask because we want to show people that we are righteous and good. It's really hard sometimes to distinguish, am I doing this for me? Am I doing this for my honor, or am I doing this for God's glory? Jesus gives a warning, be careful. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Rather, practice it to be seen by God. And so Jesus gives some very clear examples of when this happens, when we see the hypocrite at work, and an alternative suggestion to prevent needing that sort of clout for ourselves, right? So giving, let's read this one together. When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So along comes a hypocrite, and during this time, the time of Jesus, there was a sort of welfare system where the local synagogues would take up a collection, give to the poor, but people were giving to the poor on the streets as well. And the hypocrite, I imagine, this religious-looking person, probably wearing long robes, walking, you know, upright, shoulders back, head high. The picture is they've hired this local marching band, right? You know, this entourage, blowing trumpets, drumming up, you know, a beat. The picture Jesus is painting for us is, this person has got everyone's attention. Hey, come look at me. That's the point he's making. Everyone, come look at me. Look at this big check that I'm writing, this big donation that I'm giving to the poor, expecting everyone to clap because I'm so generous. That's the hypocrite. The hypocrite who calls a big press conference and announces they're donating this large sum of money to charity, and you know, photos are going off and they're cutting this big ribbon with big scissors. You know, like that's sort of picture that I imagine here. Now, that happens in our society, doesn't it? Like it happens when that company, that big corporation, they want to give to sick kids in hospital, so they give a bunch of teddy bears to kids. But every teddy bear, you know, at the bottom, there's a little label, it's sponsored by this company, right? Just so everyone knows that this company is so generous, so charitable. This is how they're marketing themselves. They want something out of it. The wealthy philanthropist is in the news because they made a big donation to the poor in a developing country. It doesn't have to be that public, though, does it? You know, this happens in the church as well. We want to be known for our donation for whatever reason. The churches that have big building funds and you have a big donation and the donor, they think that, oh, well, that means I deserve a seat on the council, right? Or I can have a voice in what's done in this church because I gave that big donation. They want something out of it. The person who goes on mission trips and takes photos of themselves serving the poor and pasting it all over the social media, chasing clout. Jesus says, give in a way that your left hand doesn't even know what your right hand is doing. It's a strange thing to say, but he's encouraging us to give in a way that even our heart won't get caught up in pride and arrogance, but instead to give in overflow of love, just organically, naturally, because we love God and we love people. He encourages us to give to the poor and do it in secret. Don't do it because you want praise and recognition. Because before God, you look like a hypocrite, a pretender. It's fake worship. He goes on to the next one, prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You see, we know prayer is asking, is communicating with God, and in Jesus' time, people would pray multiple times before, throughout the day. They pray in public as well. Jesus is saying the hypocrite loves finding themselves in busy public places to be seen by others. They'll stop and they'll throw their hands up in prayer to God, and people will see that. They'll babble on with long prayers, big theological words, and they sound so godly. But Jesus says, don't be like that. Yeah, he's shaking his head. Go into your room, close the door and pray. God will hear your prayers. He knows your needs. Don't do it for the clout. You know, Jesus isn't saying don't pray in public at all. Jesus prayed with his disciples in a group, and he prayed in private. We do that at church. We pray at church in a public sense. We go into our small groups throughout the week. We pray in front of our small groups. We go on prayer walks perhaps with friends. You know, Christians do pray in a public sense out loud before people. But again, he's going back to the motivation. What you're seeking in the way that you pray before others. Is it because you want them to see you and give you honor, or because you want to pray in a way that gives God the glory? Jesus teaches them how to pray. He goes on to how this is how you should pray then. You know, many Christians, and I'm assuming many people in the room, if you've been in church for a while, you know this prayer, right? Our Father in heaven, got it on the screen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We've heard this prayer before, haven't we? Many of us pray this prayer regularly. Many in churches would pray this prayer together. But I want us to consider, so I'm not going to spend time going through each line of this. I want us to consider the context it's put in. Jesus is saying, don't pray in a way that gives glory and honor to yourself. Even in the way you pray, pray this way. Pray in a way that your prayers aren't focused just on yourself. Think about it. There's one line in that whole prayer that asks and requests God for something for yourself. Do you know what line that is? It's, give us today our daily bread. Every other line in that prayer is about God being glorified ultimately. For God's name to be hallowed, that just means God's name to be revered and honored in our world. We pray for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. We pray for us to be forgiven of our sin, which means so that we can enter into God's kingdom so we can have a relationship with him. We pray to be led from temptation and delivered from the evil one. We pray that so we're not led astray from God, so that when his kingdom comes, we're safe within his kingdom. We ask for daily bread, yes, and we should, for God's provision. But the majority of that prayer is about God, about his glory, about his kingdom. Do you see that our prayers aren't ultimately about us? Jesus says, pray like this, because when we pray like this, our prayers aren't about making us look good, but they're centered on God and pointing others to God, to his glory and to his honor. You might often hear me say here, we want to be a gospel-centered church, gospel-centered Christians. And at the heart even of our prayers, they're gospel-centered, God-centered, not self-centered. But thirdly, he makes a reference to those practicing fasting as well, right? Most of us we know what fasting is, right? Most of us, there are people who don't go to church, but they know that fasting is when you go on a diet at least. In Jesus' time, they fasted as a religious thing, as a way to focus their prayer life on God. So by not eating, they're focusing and say, okay, this is where I'm meant to, you know, I'm not meeting my physical needs because I want to focus on my spiritual needs. But let's see how Jesus describes how the hypocrites do it. When you fast, do not look somber as hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they're fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Right? Fasting is a time of communion with God, to bring your causes before him. And so Jesus is giving us this picture of someone who makes himself look miserable to show everyone that they're fasting, to show how religious they are. It was like a performance. When Jesus says they disfigure their faces, I imagine it's the opposite of looking pretty and putting on makeup. It's make, what's opposite of makeup? Make down. You know, to look disheveled. And like you want to like just show everyone that you're going through this big spiritual battle, you're fasting, you know, because you're not eating. And people, hey, look at me, I'm fasting, everyone. Now, I know that it's in churches, it's not as common these days where people don't fast as much as back then. But it's still a good thing to do. It's a practice of our faith. But when you do fast, it doesn't need to be announced in a public attention-seeking way, does it? I know Christians who fast from food or from coffee or from Netflix or from social media. But whatever you're fasting from, fast because you want to honor God in that. Fast because you want to focus on him, your heart to be centered on him. Do it in secret. You see, one of the things that I think is just so important for us is these three examples that Jesus gives on how the hypocrites do their religious devotion to God, where they pretend to honor God, what they're doing is in fact honoring themselves. Like, again, they're attention seeking, chasing that clout, wanting recognition and validation for how great they seem to be. They want to be seen by others. You see, as I began this talk, you know, how common is it in our world today to see that? In our humanity, the default of our hearts, we seek that approval and acceptance of others, don't we? When we accomplish things or have worked hard or are talented and gifted, we really want that recognition, that validation. We feel like we're entitled to it. We want to be seen. And that feeling we get when we do that, that's the reward, isn't it? You've received your reward in full. When Jesus says that, it means you feel good about it. People have recognized it. That's it. That's your reward. And that's how we go through life. And when we don't get that recognition and validation, when we don't get that reward, have you noticed how miserable you feel? And we keep trying to find ways to feed that need, to meet that need. You know, this doesn't need to be on a big scale. Like, it doesn't need to be on social media. It doesn't need to be, winning awards at some ceremony at school or whatever it might be like that. It could just be in the small sense amongst your group of friends and family to be recognized and accepted by them and given that validation. I mean, it's a great feeling to be recognized and validated, but have you noticed? It's also really miserable when you don't, and you're always just trying to get that next hit. You know, when someone else does and you look at their life, they're getting this recognition, and you're just as holy and pious as they are, it's a sucky feeling. Like, it's like being in a family where the younger sibling actually gets all the accolades, she doesn't. And the older, who's just as impressive, gets, you know, left unnoticed. They're just expected to be, you know, that good high achiever. It's that yucky feeling. You know, it shows itself as jealousy and envy. It's not nice to not be recognized for the hard work you've done when you feel deserving of it. Why do we need that so bad, though? Why do we chase clout, and why do we need that validation from others? Why is there such a strong desire to be seen by others that we'd act like a hypocrite so we could get it? You see, within these 18 verses, Jesus is making really, I think it's like this subtle incision into our hearts. And he's making us really think about why we do what we do. Like, I could spend time on just, you know, explaining why we give to the poor and pray and fast, but I don't think that's the main point Jesus is making in these 18 verses. I think what Jesus is doing is he's exposing the deep insecurities that we have as we seek the approval of others. We hunger for it because we want to know we're good enough. And it looks like pride in many ways. But what Jesus is doing is, through exposing that insecurity of our hearts, he's pointing us to find our security and validation in God, our Father. You see, our Father, he sees us. We're seen. You're seen, I'm seen. We don't need to be seen by others because we're seen by our Father in heaven. That should give us all the validation and recognition and approval we need. It's the reward from him that is far greater and far eternal that we should desire. if you read through that passage again, why does what does he keep repeating? He keeps repeating hypocrites. Hypocrites want to be seen by others. But he also repeats, do it in secret because you're seen by God. You're seen by our Father. Your prayers don't need to be long and elaborate with flowery big words. God knows your needs because he sees your heart. And when you read these 18 verses, you'll also pick up that idea. Jesus calls God our Father. He makes reference to God our Father 10 times within these 18 verses. You know, you can go through the whole Old Testament and there's very little references throughout the entire Old Testament to God as our Father in heaven. Addressing God in that personal and intimate way. Why does Jesus do that here? He does it here because he wants us to know we're seen by him. That we can call him Father. That we're his children. And that we can have a full security and acceptance in him through Christ. Our insecurities are met. Jesus gives us the remedy to that insatiable desire for human approval. He shows us that our God, our Father, our Heavenly Father, brings us into a new kingdom, a new life. We don't have to keep working for that recognition. We don't need to keep trying to earn validation from others. And God, our Father, knows we can't earn it by our own merits anyways. The good Father he is, he offers his Son Jesus on our behalf. So that through Jesus, through his death and resurrection, our sins are forgiven. We have new life. We have a new relationship with God that we once didn't have. A relationship where we're accepted through Christ on our behalf. A new relationship where we can call him our Father. Isn't that good? Isn't that great? Where we're seen by him? You see, that's what Jesus is doing here. Jesus, who is in himself, he has an intimate relationship with God as a Father, that God is his Father. And he's teaching his disciples and us, he's introducing them to the Father in such a way that remedies the need to be seen by others. So much so that our hearts now, in this new life that we have, no longer are concerned by needing honor and elevating our own name. We don't need that. But instead, we're concerned with, how can I honor my Father in heaven? You see, the more I'm concerned with how I can honor my Father, the more I'm going to be less concerned about what people think about me. There's actually a guy called Oz Guinness. Oz, I think, is short for Oswald. Oswald Guinness. He's actually the great-great-grandson of that Guinness guy who made the beer. People would probably know him more than this guy. But Oz Guinness, he's a Christian pastor, actually, and a theologian. And he's known famously for this quote that you might have read before. I live before the audience of one, before others, I have nothing to gain, nothing to lose, nothing to prove. And you know, that concept, I've had to preach to myself so many times. I live before an audience of one. You know, when I strive wanting approval from others and needing that, well, I need to keep coming back to this truth. I need to keep preaching this truth to myself. Why do I do that? Why do I care so much about what other people think? It's he who I desire to please. It's he who I desire to honor. It's he who I want to live for as my good Father in heaven, deserving all the glory and honor and praise. Why do I want any of that? I don't need that. I'm accepted already in him. Friends, can I encourage you to anchor your security in him and practice your faith in that way that honors his name above your own? In the way that you pray or fast or you're generous with your money, in the way that you do evangelism, the way that you serve at church or the way you lead others in the Bible, all those ways you live out your faith amongst others, operate out of a heart that's so secure in God the Father and his love for you that you don't need to seek after the validation of others and being seen by them. You and I, we live for an audience of one. And that one has brought us into the family and accepted us as his child in love through the cross. We can rest and find peace in that security. Because while the reward of being seen by others is a nice feeling, it's temporary, isn't it? Chasing clout, it's exhausting. There are actually lots of articles written about social media influencers who burn out, who can't keep up with the pressure of creating content and meeting the algorithms and that need to be validated with likes and comments. It's miserable. It's cruel. Ultimately, the reward of being seen by others, it's a scam. It's not worth it. God's reward for us is the eternal life in a relationship with him as our Heavenly Father. Live out your faith for him and be comforted to know that through Christ, we have all the acceptance and approval and validation we need. I want to pray, and I want to invite you to pray. And I'm going to finish
with praying the Lord's Prayer as a way to remind our hearts that we want to exalt His name above all else and give Him the honor and praise above our own. So please join me. Let's pray that now. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We pray this in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. And together God's people said, Amen.